Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
This out in post.
I didn't do an intro yet. Officially, we didn't start. So,
Joe's probably should tune it, and it's a new theme song.
We already have 11 theme songs.
Yes, but we could have like 30 of them. So,
the S in SML stands for shitting out of your doo doo ass.
Shitty, mediocre losers.
Yeah, that's fair.
It could be. I actually don't know what it stands for, and I've been meaning to ask.
Small, medium, large.
That was the original name.
And now it's someone might listen, apparently.
Yes, someone might listen.
I appreciate that optimism.
Yeah, one of these days.
I tried to get Sega to sponsor us by saying it was Sega Mastery Level or some crap like that, but they never replied to me, which is standard.
Why would they?
I don't know. I probably also like shouldn't have like begged for a new Jet Set Radio game at the same time.
I mean, we're getting one.
No, I feel like no. Don't feel bad about that. Shoot your shot, man. Look, business-wise, Sega's done way dumber than what you asked them to do.
True. That is true.
That is true. I guess we'll keep that bit in. What's up, everyone? This is the SMO Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We've got a fun group here. Aki's here today. Bree's here today. Jacob's here today. And, oh shit, Dave K's here.
Damn,
that's a joke for us.
How did he get sexy intro music? How come I don't have sexy intro? Oh, fuck, you're going to play Marlon Soar.
Oh shit, Jacob's here.
Just get shit out of your doo-doo ass.
Damn it.
Jacob gets the demon music because he's evil.
That's what his toilet got shortly before this show started, apparently.
The toilet sees Jacob coming and it's like,
go fuck yourself.
That's fair.
Look, we've all been there.
So how's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Hot. I'm sweaty.
Sotten with allergies. So if I sound like I'm trying to do a mid-Atlantic accent, it's not intentional. It's just my nose is, my fucking face feels like it's full of glue. Sucks. I'm become snot, the moistener of worlds.
Well, Dave, it's been a while since you've been on the show. So for the people who might not be familiar with who you are, who are you and why are you here?
I have no idea in either case. I don't exist. Neither does anything else. We are all in a giant head that dreamed us into being.
That is fair. Any questions from the audience?
I watch wrestling with Joe. That is my only qualification for being here. That and I'm willing to review games for free. Likewise.
Jacob, have you met Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just now.
No, I've met you before.
Maybe on a Tuesday show.
I'm that memorable, apparently.
Apparently I was too.
I know Aki met Dave.
Okay.
It's true, we have.
Aki doesn't remember anything.
No, I don't.
Except that sweet, sweet donut.
And a 10-hour nap, so apparently.
Yep, it was just a nap. It wasn't a sleep, it was a nap. I refuse to believe otherwise.
Where does the separation between those things in your mind? I'm really curious.
I don't sleep. I only take naps. There is no sleep.
Okay. So sleep just isn't a thing that you recognize as like a thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
You just all pass right. out randomly.
Sleep is for the weak. I am not weak. There we go.
I know what sleep is for. It's for the Sony State of Play event.
There was some good games in there. There was a whole bunch of trash, but there was some good stuff in there.
What trash was in there? I hear about good games all the time. What kind of bullshit were they trying to foist on people?
Well,
let's go through it.
Yeah.
They kind of started off with some bullshit that I don't care about at all. They opened up the show with Concord, their long-awaited,
They bamboozled me, and I don't appreciate it.
Like, they had a really cool story trailer for it, and then they announced, it's like, hey, this is going to be a 5v5 shooter, and I was out immediately.
Yeah,
I was like, that whole starting trailer, I got so hyped. I was like, oh, this looks so fucking awesome. And then they showed gameplay, and I was like, why would you do this to me?
The hero shooter.
Yeah, my favorite comment from the chat was, we have Guardians of the Galaxy at home.
Yeah. I was not impressed at all by Concord. There's going to be a beta in July on PS5 and PC. It launches August 23rd on PS5 and PC. I don't have high hopes for it, but I don't know. We'll see. It could be good. God of War Ragnarok.
I feel like it needs a wackier name. Concord sounds like what a rich guy names his dirigible.
God of War Ragnarok is coming to PC. It will require a PSN account, and it will be out September 19th. So a single-player only game requires a PSN account.
That may be where they get fucked, because Steam players really have already decided they don't fucking want that. So let's see how this goes. This might sell well, and PC gamers might buckle, or PC gamers might be like, hey, no, fuck you, and it sells like shit, and Sony gets the fucking point and stuff.
No, it's gonna sell. It's gonna sell. It's got a war. People complain about having to sign up for Epic, and now Epic is still around. So PlayStation Store logins aren't going to be going away anytime soon, I don't think. It's bullshit for the people and company in countries that aren't supported by PSN, and they have every right to be pissed off, but I don't think it's going away. Dynasty Warriors Origins is coming out in 2025. It was confirmed for PS5, PC, and Series X and S.
Yay!
That one looks good. I love Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, I'm always a big fan of that.
Yeah, those look fun.
Aki, you know that they made like two of them with Gundams, right? So you could get excited.
They
about
made
those,
three of
least.
Them with Gundams.
Okay, thank you, nerd.
However, you know, Dynasty Warriors. If you've played the first game, you've played this one. They don't really fucking change. I don't understand.
Well, I mean,
why
like,
people are so fucking excited.
I mean, it's like Dynasty game. Warriors versus Dynasty Warriors, like Empires, and I know that there's like a third spinoff. Kind of thing. Like, they're not all like, I mean, you know, one's like a beat 'em up and the other ones are like more tactical and stuff like that, but you know, I don't know, they're fun.
This is just the like 52nd time that people get to buy and play this game or whatever. I don't get it.
Mario fans laugh at you right now.
I don't understand that one either.
I mean, Aki, I'm sure you play games that have similar iterations.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're going to tell me that all of your porn games are like, you know.
You play visual novels. Once you've played a visual novel, you've basically played every visual novel. Just the story that's different.
Dynasty Warrior does not. It is the same story, the same battles, mostly the same exact same characters every single game since the first one.
To be fair, I mean, I sat through a PowerPoint presentation one time, so that means I've pretty much played every visual novel ever.
You have?
So.
Kind of fair.
It's true.
I'll be getting into that a bit later.
And you played Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, so there you go.
Oh, God. You know, I'd actually gotten that out of my memory.
You're welcome.
Do I even want to know what that is?
I hate you, Bree. I hate you.
I played it, too.
It's like Aki needs to play Plumbers Don't Wear Ties.
No, don't do it, Aki. I hate your guts, but like, I still would not wish this upon my worst enemy.
See, now I have to look it up because I have no idea.
It was apparently Aki, but to hear you tell it.
No, Aki's actually not my worst enemy, but like, solid like top 20.
Damn, I really need to up my fucking game.
It's an easy 1,000.
I really wish you wouldn't, because then that would mean I'd have to talk to you more. Anyway,
Infinity Nikki is a picture-taking fashion game. Looks batshit crazy.
Hell yeah.
What I took away from it.
I, I like how, like you just said, a picture-taking fashion game. Immediately, Aki and I are like, "Yes, we Hell need yeah. this. Yes,
yeah, I want
a little the magical
cat friend. Game of the year, right there."
You get a cute little cat thing, and you get the dress up, and it looks so cute, and I want it. It's adorable.
Well, the website says it'll be cross-platform, but they don't list any platforms. There will be some kind of test for the game in Q3 2024. So we'll find more.
The chat says it is described as an action-adventure dress-up game.
And I just want it even more now.
Which, I have to be honest, is a little hard to picture.
It was hard to understand what the game was about watching the trailer, and that is still the best description, so yes.
Okay, so I shouldn't feel too dumb for not understanding I've seen so
yet
far.
No, okay, the good. Trailer, all it showed was a girl cute going around anime, and having pictures taken and over and
in
that's
different
it.
Costumes in a magical world with a cute cat. Yep.
Open world dress-up game. There yep. you go. Thanks, Thimber.
Yeah, I weirdly did not have to be told that this was an anime thing. It sort of
it's sort of implied, yeah.
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 There is an implication.
Ballad of Antara looks like a Souls-like game, and it's coming 2025. That's all I took away from that trailer.
That was about all I took away from it, too.
We need more games like this to come to Xbox. I want more cool samurai let's kill things games.
Well, no platforms were announced, so who knows? Well, besides yeah. PlayStation, it's possible it could show up elsewhere. Who knows? Behemoth from Skydance Games is coming to PlayStation VR 2. It looks super violent and entertaining. It is from the devs of Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, which is a pretty solid VR game. So this one looks to be one to be interested in if you actually own a VR 2. That is coming fall.
It looked cool, but it's a fucking VR 2 game, and
yeah.
I don't think those sold amazingly well, so...
No, they didn't.
And I don't think this is going to increase their sales all that much, so...
If that doesn't do it for you, Alien Rogue Incursion is coming holiday 2024 to PSVR 2. So,
they didn't show enough of
creepy alien game.
Have an opinion of it.
Yeah.
It was Alien VR. I mean, I feel like they didn't have to show much. I think you can kind of guess what that's going to be and jump scares and yeah.
I was about to say, not seeing the alien up until a certain point, I imagine would be the point of the game, right?
I don't know.
What was Isolation? The aliens chasing you the whole game, and that's basically the plot of that one.
Yeah.
Just trying to evade it the whole time.
Yeah, that was good, but then you also have all the ones where you play as soldiers and stuff killing the shit out of aliens, so I'm just not sure what kind of game this PSV R2 game's gonna end up being, because it didn't really show anything, so I don't know if it's gonna be a, oh, we need to hide, or, oh, we're gonna fight this fucking thing, so I kinda wanna know more about what kind of game this is before I take in an opinion on it.
Thimber just gave us some more information on Ballad of Antara, and it's being billed as, quote, a single-player, free-to-play action RPG.
Well, I've lost a lot of faith in it, but yeah. Who knows? It could still be good.
Could be good.
It's not but likely.
Free-to-play is a pretty big turnoff for me anymore.
Yep.
Well, Marvel Rivals is coming to PS5. It's getting a closed beta in July. And they are getting a PS5 exclusive Spider-Man skin. So it doesn't look like Spider-Man is going to be exclusive to any platforms. Thankfully, the game is confirmed for Series X and S as well.
This will probably do well because Overwatch's devs shit the bed pretty bad with Overwatch 2. So
yeah.
This could do really well.
Ember says this one's Overwatch 4.
Yeah.
It looks good. Hopefully it does well. It's good to see it's coming to all platforms, basically, except Switch, I don't think. Maybe Switch 2. Who knows? Where Winds Meet looks like another Souls-like.
And again, I still want it.
Look away from that one.
It's another cool samurai game. I want it.
And all we found out is that it's in development. So
I really like this one because it's all wire-foo, and... You don't see too many games like that. So this one looked pretty cool.
Until Dawn is getting a remaster coming to PS5 and PC this fall.
Ooh. I didn't realize it wasn't on PC already, to be honest.
Yeah. And then a trailer for Path of Exile 2. This one looks fucking awesome.
I'm going to have this one.
Of course, it's a Diablo style game.
Yep.
Going to have couch co-op, cross-play, cross-progression. Early access is coming late 2024. Am I the only one interested in this one?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I don't really play Diablo-like games, so yeah.
Should. This one will have
a lot of things.
This one will have co-op. It's like Diablo has co-op. You should play that one, too. Silent Hill 2 Remake has an October A3 release date.
Woot.
From Bloober Team.
I don't like the visuals of this. It just kind of looks a little ugly to me. However, it seems fairly action-based, which I've never played the Silent Hill games, but I always thought they were very not particularly action-based. Because, like, almost this entire trailer was combat, combat, combat.
Well, they got to show the exciting stuff during the trailers. You don't want to just walk down a hallway for 10 seconds during a trailer.
Much less the
fair, but
significantly larger amount of time you spend doing that actually playing Silent Hill.
Oh, okay.
You're just the dude running away from shit is more or less what those games.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a shame. I really like the action-based stuff. So.
Well, if you like action, the next game is for you. Monster Hunter Wilds got a new trailer. This one's coming out 2025, and you could get bonus equipment if you have a Monster Hunter World and Iceborne save for your Palico. Yep. Yay.
I really like the visual style of these games. I do not like the play style of them. These are so pretty, though.
Yeah.
I want a 3D animated movie based on this. Because, it would be so pretty.
Last game they showed off was Astrobot, a new 3D action-adventure game coming from Team Asobi, releasing September 6th. I will be honest, this is the game during the presentation that made me regret selling the PS5. Because I love Astrobot.
It looked chaotic cute.
Not sold on the flying segments. It looks like you're going to have to do motion control for that shit, which I'm not a fan of, but the 3D action gameplay, looks so cute.
Yeah, it looked really cool. Did you notice all the Easter egg characters, like Parappa the Rapper?
Parappa, yeah. Yep.
That, I was like, I saw that, and I was like, oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, so that was the state of play. Anyone have any thoughts on it? I thought it was,
It had some decent games. It also had some absolute fucking trash.
Yeah, that's about it.
Kind of meh to me. Yeah.
That's not all the PlayStation news, because the PS Plus games were announced for June, as well as a whole bunch of bonus stuff. The three games for June are SpongeBob SquarePants, The Cosmic Shake, Streets of Rage 4, and AEW Fight Forever.
Fuck yeah.
Dave, what do you think of AEW Fight Forever?
I've played a little bit of it. I do really enjoy playing it. It's just there isn't a lot there beyond the fact that it's fun to play. But that's kind of like the most important part of a game.
Yeah.
Especially a wrestling tend to be kind of, for the most part, bad.
My biggest gripe with the game is how they're just drip feeding extra content. Like WWE 2K24, their season pass has like 20 new wrestlers. AEW's season has three wrestlers.
That's I don't get that either.
Like, they have a lot of people under contract. Fucking release some people. Give me wrestlers to play.
I'd say from their contracts or into the game?
Yeah, into the game.
Okay. Let's make it sure.
Unless it's Luther, fire him.
Absolutely. How dare you? They should absolutely put Luther in the game, first of all.
As a bonus, June 6th, PS Premium members are getting a handful of PSVR 2 games, with Ghostbusters Rise of the Ghost Lord, Walkabout Mini Golf, Synth Riders, Before Your Eyes, and The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners Chapters 1 and 2. Free for PS Premium members.
Nice. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah. Another bonus for premium members, PS2 classics are coming to the PS5. That is right. They have PS2 emulation working on the PS5, so maybe this is the start of something big. They have Tomb Raider Legend, Tomb Raider Legends, Star Wars The Clone Wars, and Sly Cooper and the Thievis Raccoonus are the first three games being released. I hope they release more than like three a month or one a month or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, release shit. You have hundreds, thousands of games in your history that people want to play. Release them.
Definitely.
Is it weird that Sony is now starting PS2 emulation where Xbox is shutting off the 360 store? Is it a change in priorities, do you think? Do you think we'll see more backward compatibility stuff come from PlayStation side? I would, if this lights a fire under Xbox's ass to restart the backward compatibility program, I would love that.
Yeah.
I really hope it does, but
I don't think it will, but
I don't think it will either. I think Xbox is pretty much just like everything that needs to be backwards compatible is in their eyes. Because I mean, couldn't like,
be more wrong.
Oh, I'm not saying I agree with that statement, because I would love to have everything on my Xbox Series X, and then I could just go off and sell my Xbox 360. But unfortunately, I can't. But the thing is, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, like, are you really clamoring to get that, you know, IHF Handball 16 to be able to be playable on your Xbox Series X? I mean, hell,
that's the only reason everyone why we brings it up. They're like, do you want every game backward compatible? No, I don't want every game backward compatible. It'd be nice, but I want more than 30% of the library.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
And look at the original Xbox library, 60 games out of 900. 60. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I'm not disagreeing with
yes, it. Yes, you are, you son of a bitch.
No, I'm not. But at the same how time, dare you? I'm also just like, all right, let's think about some of the titles I used to play when I first, like, because I mean, the Xbox, the original Xbox was my first console that I got brand new, like not at a yard sale, not at a friend's house, any of that kind of shit. And I think back to like a lot of the games that I used to play, and I'm just like, I would think that these games are complete shit if I played them nowadays. Like, what the hell is the point of bringing in X2 Wolverine's Revenge? That game is ass. Like, it's over 20 years old. Nobody's clamoring for it. And we've got X-Men Origins Wolverine if you really need to, like, you know,
except that's not backward compatible either.
I know, but that's again why I'm oh hell yeah, like why the hell there's no HD remaster? Like,
that's why when people have that argument that you have, they pick the worst games imaginable. Like,
okay, fine, Crimson Skies, High Road to Revenge.
Like, that is backward compatible.
I know, and it's also like it's showing its age. Like, badly compared to other flight sims that are out, even like cartoony ones. A lot of these games are like aren't holding up nearly as much as like I had hoped. Like,
okay, and for new gamers, I don't know, they could be a whole new experience. For a company that's touting preservation as much as they do, it's just a bad look for them.
Maybe at this point, I'm like, after hearing so many promises of all this kind of shit, I'm just getting very defeatist about it.
Maybe. You sound it.
I'm just, like, I'm just whatever about it. I mean, like, how much of a fucking backlog do you have, Joe? How much do I have? Like, are we really ever going to get to, like, all of these old-ass games?
No, but it's not just
hear about that, us. Microsoft, you've broken Jacob's gentle spirit.
He's dead inside.
I'm dead inside. I managed to re-download Yaris the other day. That's how dead I am inside.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, a few more games for PlayStation Plus are getting added to the extra catalog through the next few weeks for the State of Play and Days of Play stuff going on. May 29th, they're getting Dredge. May 31st, Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2. June 5th, motherfucking Cricket 24! And then June 7th, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas Definitive Edition.
Fuck yeah. Although, fuck those missions where you have to fly a plane. That shit sucked.
Yeah.
Overall, that game's great. But, yeah, the plane controls are something I still, to this day, am mad about.
Oh, man. So, yeah, a lot of good news for PlayStation people. A lot of games coming along. Shocking nobody at all on the planet, it was announced that Call of Duty Black Ops 6 will be a day one Game Pass edition.
Yippee.
Good consensus of everything. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know. I'm just plain not excited about it. And also, I didn't mean to use plain while leading up to the next thing. Rumored is that it's going to be about 9/11.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Isn't that supposed to be a playable mission in one of the
Or if it's not, like, specifically, it's, like, the immediate aftermath of 9/11, supposedly.
I heard Saddam Hussein was going to be in the game, but I didn't hear it was...
Oh, do you get to find him in his little underground bunker?
Thimber says it's about
the Gulf War. Well, I mean, he did 9/11, so, like, he should be in the game.
Oh, it's now confirmed.
It's a historical artifact.
Gulf War.
Oh, the Gulf War.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what Thimber is saying.
So. Okay.
Xbox is apparently partnering with 100 Star, a London studio founded in 2023 by former Rocksteady heads. The project is allegedly a AAA single-player action-adventure game built in Unreal 5. Let's hope it actually comes out before 2030.
Mm. All right. Doesn't give us a lot to go on, but...
No. But cool. Maybe it'll be good. We'll see.
Whatever.
Former Rocksteady. So... Toys for Bob is now officially an independent studio.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. Dragon Quest III HD 2D remake is confirmed for Switch, PS5, PC, and hooray, Xbox Series X and S.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm thrilled about that.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that to become, you know, it'd be nice to see Octopath Traveler 2 finally come out Xbox.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Was announced a year ago or early 2024.
Would be nice.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Let's see. Rainbow Six Siege is starting an R6 membership for $10 a month that includes shit you don't need to pay $10 a month for.
It's $80 for the year, though, if you want to get that premium for a whole year.
And apparently, this season has just been absolute ass, too. And then they dropped that. Apparently it got booed.
Yeah, it did. They were having some sort of R6 conference somewhere this last weekend. And the people were booing when they announced it.
Here's more ways we can milk money out of you.
Yeah.
Hey. What exactly is this dog shit, Neo?
It's like bonus battle passes and animated skins. And
you can get battle level skips and...
I think pay to be boosted up real quick so you don't actually have to play the game.
Yep.
You know, hey, if you want the stuff in the game, it is better just to pay so you don't have to play it, because that game fucking sucks.
And this isn't for people who think the game sucks.
Are you sure? Because it sounds like people don't have to play the game.
Yeah, it sounds like they're explicitly appealing to people who think the game sucks but still want that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, because this isn't for people who are like, yes, I want to play this because this is cutting out your need to play it.
Look, dopamine is a finite resource. That's all I'm saying.
This game is fucking terrible. I hated Rainbow Six Siege. Ugh.
Well, it's apparently nothing like what it was at launch. They've apparently reworked that game top to bottom.
I didn't play it at launch. I played it. Like a few years later, I think. I did not enjoy it.
Capcom is rumored to be working on remakes of Resident Evil 0 and Code Veronica.
Fuck yes. If it's been anything like the other games I've been playing of theirs, I am so fucking for this. I love these games.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see. And then last bit of news I have... Test Drive Unlimited Solar Crown has a September 12th release date.
Okay.
I know nothing about this game.
The driving game.
I assumed it was some sort of racing
game. Go vroom vroom.
I haven't played a vroom vroom game since like Need for Speed on like the PS2.
Oh man, if Adam Chase were here, he would be hooting and hollering at this news.
our resident racing expert.
Mm.
But that's the news I have. Aki, what news do you have?
I'm useful, so I have nothing to get this going faster.
Bree, what kind of news do you have?
Let's see. Redfall got its final update today with its offline mode.
Yay!
Ooh, I didn't know they were actually going to put that out. Awesome. That's cool.
It's good to see that's out. There's some other stuff, but you know, considering that they got closed, it's good to see that they were able to complete what they were working on at the time, at least, and get that out there for the final patch.
Yeah.
Game closure and removal from store. Memories of Mars. They're closing their servers on June 25th. It's also on PlayStation, so I'm sure there's similar issues there. But for Xbox, it'll take away all achievements. But they've already
been in store. And also, if you didn't buy it already,
Delisted.
It's done, yeah.
Well, yeah, not only is it already delisted, but there was no physical edition, so...
Yeah.
I thought that was a single-player game.
Yeah, you know, I could have sworn that, like, I thought it was too, and then, like, I read the True Achievements article, and now I'm like, what game was I thinking of? Like the only thing I could think of is maybe like Mars Warlogs or something.
That could be too. I've seen a lot of Mars games and I've always debated on buying some of them because I'm like, this could be kind of interesting or it could be absolute trash. I don't know.
See, there's Mars Warlogs, Mars Chaos Menace, Mars Power Industries Deluxe, Mars Horizon, ooh, Kinect Fun Labs, Mars Rover Landing.
That was a free game, I think, because I think I have that.
You have a Kinect?
I have a Kinect for both 360 and Xbox One.
Nice.
I don't ever fucking use them because neither console is plugged in an area where that would be handy, but, you know, I have them.
Yay.
Well, what other news you got? Ayuden Chronicles has a roadmap for their DLC. They have 3 character-focused chapters coming, one in August, one in September, and one in October of this year.
Very cool. Nice. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, but that's all the news I have.
All right. Dave K., any game news you want to talk about? Wrestling news you want to talk about? Cope breaking his fucking leg.
Adam Copeland did, in fact, break his fucking leg. He jumped off the top of a steel cage in maybe the dumbest way you could possibly do that, which is to do it at all, as a 50-year-old man, and he broke his leg.
Like, normally people watch wrestling. If you jump off of something onto somebody, you land on top of them, right? I'm asking the non-wrestler watchers.
That is not what Adam Copeland did.
No, he jumped and landed on his legs from about 20 feet in the air.
Was he trying to do a Superman pose?
I don't know what the fuck he was trying to. He should have landed flat on top of the guy.
But maybe if he fell asleep mid-flight, yeah. But basically what happened was like he put a guy on a table and then climbed up to the top of the cage. And then I don't know if he like wanted to do something and then thought better of it halfway down. But he like landed basically on his feet while hitting the guy on the table and subsequently broke his leg.
Yeah, fractured his tibia.
Is the other guy okay?
The other guy's fine. I mean, well, it's as fine as a guy with a bad back who is wrapped in barbed wire can be, I suppose.
Yeah.
Match ruled. Sicko shit for perverts. We love it here.
Y'all should watch AEW. That's what we're saying here.
All right.
Y'all should watch it.
Meh.
Meh. Yes, I counter with... That's the theme song to their pay-per-view this past weekend, and it's like the catchiest goddamn song ever. So,
I mean, the big wrestling news.
It sounds a lot like the Guile theme.
A little bit. It does sound very Street Fighter-y. You're right about that.
Yeah.
I mean, the big wrestling news beyond Adam Copeland being an idiot and breaking his leg is the Department of Justice investigating Vince McMahon for various things.
So, yay.
Who knows how that's going to go? But apparently they've been trying to get a case together against him for quite a while. So
fingers crossed it goes as well as things went for the other WWE Hall of Famer that's in the news recently.
Oh, that's true. One of the stars of Home Alone 2 is now a convicted felon. Great news for everyone. Oh,
shit. Jacob, any game
Trump news? Trump has lost the mandate of heaven, and he is likely composing his death poem as we speak.
Yay.
I don't have a whole lot of news. Star Citizen has now raised $700 million for a game that is not finished yet.
And never will be.
Yeah.
They're never going to put out that fucking game.
I mean, it's theoretically playable in whatever state it's in. I don't know. I've seen videos of it too. I mean, it looks kind of cool, but
The other team in my house plays it.
I feel like I'm never going to get a chance to play it because I don't do PC gaming. My investment was really just because it's Chris Roberts and he was a creator of Wing Commander and I trust him implicitly. For whatever reason, don't ask me. It was 2013. It was a wild time. But anyway,
young and reckless then.
Exactly. Throwing around $60 all willy-nilly, where my coworker and I came up with a plan that we were going to, you know, be pirates in, and it never went anywhere. But, you know.
Whipping out Fliff like a sultan. God, to be young and stupid again.
So there's that. And also the first Lego set the first Legend of Zelda Lego set has been announced. It is a $300 set, and it's a giant Deku tree.
Dang. Where's Tim? I'm sure he's gonna get that.
With like three different versions. I think it's like three different versions of Link.
That should be cool.
I mean, I don't know if it's gonna be $300 cool, but you know, I don't think that they're really going after the
casuals.
The poor folks. And I think that's all I got.
Cool.
Oh yeah, and my youngest beat little kitty Big City.
Yay. That game is so
Yay.
Good.
Yeah.
Thimber's asking if anyone played the new Multiverses now that it's come back.
No. I've
played a few games and I have no interest in playing more. Take that as you wish.
No.
It doesn't feel good. I don't like the monetization. It's $10 a character. Or you could play the free rotation, or you can work your ass off to unlock them with in-game currency. But let's be real, it's $10 a character, and that's insanity. It's just, games are getting too expensive.
I mean, if you want to back it up to Star Citizen for a moment, you know part of why they made so much money on that game is because they sell ships and ship packages for real world dollars, counting thousands at a time. Like there's a
package
for like a bunch of ships. It's like 200 ships. You pay nearly $50,000 for it. Like real world money.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hopefully it came with insurance for those ships.
I hope so. Yeah.
I feel like you should get one of them for real for 50 grand.
Well, right. But it's actually really interesting to see like on their websites and everything and in the game, they have these in-world ship manufacturers and they do advertisements. Like they make these fictitious ads for these ships and these ship concepts under these different fictitious manufacturers. It's a really cool thing to like witness, but holy heck, people put a lot of money into that game.
Yeah, never underestimate the power of nerds with money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
or the gullibility of nerds with money.
Between Star Citizen and the rise of furry art, I mean, like nerds could really just afford they could really crush an economy.
Art, they buy fur suits for fuck's sake. Them fuckers are expensive.
I made a fursuit for someone before.
How many thousands of dollars did you sell that for?
I was a professional costumer for years and years. So yes, I have made some fursuits and related like mascot type costumes. So yes.
Yep. People spend a lot of money on that shit. That is, it's insane.
Can I ask like a not necessarily G-rated question on that?
Okay.
Please. God, I was hoping
you to make a filthy fursuit for
me. No, I don't want a fucking fursuit, and Lord knows I couldn't fucking afford it. I have $3 in my bank account right now. Bree, build me a fursuit for $3.
No.
So you're like, here's no. here's a patch of cloth. Now, like, go imagine things.
Build me a fur Gundam.
Yeah. All right. So, out of curiosity, when you're making these suits, like, are there like, do you make like holes? Like, I mean, like, how do you like tailor that to a certain? Did they have to be there in person?
It depends on what they're looking for. Not everybody is about the yiffing.
Well, yeah. All right. Fair. I should have prefaced it on that.
Sometimes it's just about their persona. Yeah. And yeah, that's, it doesn't, but yes, there are definitely, you know, fitting sessions where you have to be up close and personal with people.
Gotcha.
Not just for that, for any costuming related.
Well, yeah.
Or S&M gear or any of those sorts of things.
Hold up. Wait, have you been making S&M gear for other people too?
I used to do that. Yeah.
This is shit's wild. Awesome. No, like, I'm not.
I also work in leather.
Huh? You're multi-talented. Like,
yeah. Amber says you should make a Sonic fursuit for Jake.
I do have some blue fur in the house.
A Sonic fursuit. I'm not big on Sonic.
That's going to be the new sub goal. Like, the new bits goal for the show is just going to be to save up to get a custom Sonic fursuit for Jacob.
Oh, God.
As a consolation, if it only makes half the money it's supposed to, you should make a Tails fursuit.
No, I do not support this in any way, shape, or form.
Sure. So,
look, the wheels have been set in motion. You're wearing a suit. Well, you're gonna be given one. What you do with it is your own business.
Anyway, thank you for asking my, you know, question or answering my questions.
She didn't ask you anything.
I appreciate. Yes, I'm fucking aware. That's why I corrected myself, dickhead. Jesus.
Sonic fursuit news.
Update, we've got a leg.
Oh man, so anything like anyone report, else wanted...
but this is someone making a fursuit.
Yeah. Well, it's sunny and partially clothed. Should we get to reviews?
Sure.
Everyone's so on board with that. All right, let's get to first game to talk about is Eternal Threads, developed by Cosmonaut Studios, published by Secret Mode, released May 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $19.99. As an operative tasked with fixing corruption in the time stream, you've been sent to the north of England, May 2015, where six people died in a house fire. Prohibited from simply stopping the fire, you must instead manipulate the choices made by the housemates in the week leading up to it so they all survive the event. Bree, what is going on in Eternal Threads?
So yeah, this is a story-based puzzle game where time travel has gone wrong, and we're part of a team trying to fix those events and save the world. The game has two modes, normal and abridged, for a quicker play version with less events and decisions. That'll make more sense in a minute. We are Operative 43. We have a relatively easy assignment to save these six people who died erroneously in a house fire. We go into like a, you know, time travel chamber, and we get sent back to the past. We appear in the burnt out shell of the house that we're going to call from here on out as the present. And we get a visualizer, which is our tool to see things in the house. And it's like a radar that shows us where all the activities are. We're able to see the ghosts of events that happened using our visualizer, and so that we can help change them. These ghost events are fully voice acted and overlay on the present scene. So you'll get, you'll be able to see an event as if, like, you know, people are kind of like half see through, but it's like almost like a recording. And your visualizer will kind of like beep and lead you to the right room until you've learned the rest of the house layout. You can change the corrupted timeline by making precision decisions. So the other important tool in all of this is a timeline map. And that's where you can bring up the current timeline events and see how the changes we're making are affecting the outcome of the inhabitants. You can choose the events in any order, but there's a lot of good reason to play it in, like, chronological order. It's just easier to kind of understand the flow of the story as you go. There's lots of navigation features on the map, like multiple buttons will help you kind of move quickly through using, like, the bumpers. You can go to the very end of the timeline or to the next highlighted area, like where you last were. It highlights the characters at the top. You have like a little map of the six people that you are trying to save, and you'll be able to see like which event involves which characters, which is a really nice little feature just to kind of keep an eye. It'll also tell you whether or not you've saved them already by the choices that you've made. So you can kind of see like everybody's still dead based on your choices. And every choice you make can change the potential timeline. Once you've made a decision to, say, text someone or not, the available timeline events change on your map. So you might have had a potential A or B, and once you make a decision, all of the A choices are now blocked out, and you can only do the B events based on, like, say you decided to text a girl and invite her over. Well, now all of your roommates are going to have scenes where they're talking about how they don't like the girl and you made a poor decision and what's wrong with you. But if you decide not to text her, they're really supportive and remind you like, hey, she was really toxic and really bad for you. Like, it's a good thing that she didn't, you know, text her back. Yeah, we get our first event as part of a tutorial. You can see the ghost of the conversation with Tom. He's the owner of the house, about his sick bird. It's our first decision point. You get to see if the bird gets better on its own, or you can choose to encourage him to like make a vet appointment. If you choose to send the bird, the timeline changes and the cage disappears from the present. So now we've saved the bird from the fire, at least, for, you know, an easy first win.
Yay.
Yeah. Later, you know, I mentioned the texting the crazy girl. So there's a conversation you have with Dr. Ben, one of the other inhabitants of the house, and he's like, you know, hey, maybe you shouldn't text this girl back. And then, like, it leads to a whole other string of conversations. And then, like, eventually she shows up because you didn't text her. And you've got to, like, make the decision to then, like, tell the crazy girl to go away or to go take her up to your bedroom.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. As we progress through the house and the events, we learn more about the different characters. And there are items left behind in the present that we can interact with to help us understand the bigger picture of their lives. There's a letter in the drawer about Dr. Ben getting placed with an overseas appointment that would probably be really good for his career. But then we find out his girlfriend Jenny is maybe pregnant, and our decisions with the dialogues can potentially save their lives, right? So
Jenny.
Yeah, well, Ben and Jenny, and everybody makes jokes about them being like Ben and Jerry, like the ice cream people.
I was thinking more of like Jenny from Forrest Gump.
I know, like, right?
Jenny. Me and Jenny were like peas and carrots.
We also learned from the events of the past where items might be stored in the present, like keys, so we can unlock rooms to get the whole story. So you can't initially get out onto the back garden because we don't have the key, but eventually you find a scene where the new lady who's moved in, Linda, is asking the owner of the house, like, hey, I was thinking of stepping out back for a smoke. Like, is there a key? And he's like, oh, hey, yeah. I keep the spare right here on this creepy doll that's in the kitchen. And then from there, you know, you can now pick up the key and you can unlock the door. And now any scenes that are out in the back garden, you can see. So as you make decisions, it'll move objects around the house, like from the cupboard to the trash bin, based on certain decisions. There's a lot of attention to detail in the game. If I could compare it to another game I've reviewed, I would say it's somewhat like Forest Grove in terms of how it plays, which I really liked. If you add the actual time travel angle, I like this even more. And there's like 200 potential events to witness. It's a nice slice of life. It's well-written and acted. Dialogue, the characters are well-written. I wanted to understand their lives. And they all have secrets, complicated life situations they're struggling with, and it felt compelling and real. And that's pretty impressive, considering the scope of what they're trying to do in time travel and editing and the different potential scenes. And then the other thing that you realize as you're going through and you're like looking at all these people's lives and understanding is like, oh, right, these people are all going to have died if I don't figure this out. So oopsies. That's, yeah, So you really kind of like, you get that little reminder every once in a while, and it's like, oh right, I'm here not to just like be a voyeur, but like I'm here to try and save them. What is the next decision I need to make that could possibly like get them out of the situation where they're not in the house when the house catches on fire?
I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
You said how you can make a choice and then it'll put you on a different track. Can you go back to that choice and then decide against making the choice you did make?
Yes, you can go back and you can make decisions to like rewatch the scene and make a different decision. And so then you can go and see the other alternate timeline events that branch from that. Yeah.
Have you played the Tacoma?
Maybe.
You were on a spaceship looking at the past of what happened on the spaceship.
Yes, this game
This reminds me of that mixed with Forest Grove.
Yeah, I can kind of see that a little bit, yeah.
Okay, I've added this game to my wish list.
Yeah, I would definitely, well, and that's, you know, to get to my verdict, like, I'm going to say, like, the price was, what, $19.99? Like, it's absolutely worth it. I feel like you're going to get somewhere in the 10 to 20 hours worth of play in here if you're trying to get all of the things easily. And it's really well acted on top of that, where, like, you know, Forest Grove was kind of like, oh, I mean, the acting was okay. It got the point across. This is actually good acting. So, and like I said, there's like 200 events or something possible that you can do in the main game. And that's so many things to unravel. Very cool.
Also, said it already, but let's get the official word, $20, your verdict.
Yeah, buy it.
Cool. All right, Bree, that is it for you. Sailing tonight?
I am sailing, yes.
Any fun plans?
No, I'm just going to wing it, you know, see what trouble I get up to.
Very good. Very good. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
I do.
Ooh.
If you see a toilet in your dreams, don't use it.
Wait, hold on. Why?
Yo, that's good advice. Don't question it.
No, I'm not questioning it. I just need to know
why. You literally questioned it.
Okay.
I'm not questioning it. I'm asking why, so like I know.
That is a question.
Because you will lose your bowels, IRL.
Why is literally a question?
No, yes, of course it's a question, but it's not like I'm defying Bree's authority on this. Like,
no one said you're just questioning her.
Oh my god, Joe, shut the fuck up. I'm going to drive up to your house and punch you in the dick.
I dare you.
Dude, if my wife wasn't taking the car this weekend, I fucking would. Just to punch you in the dick. I'd pull a Kunal, show up, drive 2 hours, punch you in the dick, and then leave.
Cool.
Good. It'll be great. Looking forward to it.
You should just get make a room out, yes, and go probably. Make out. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He's a terrible lover. What an awesome
threat. Oh, man, if I had a car this weekend, oh boy, would you get it.
Awesome. Oh boy, would your dick get punched.
Yeah, the threat is, if I had a car this weekend, I'd put my hands all over your dick. That's all I'm hearing from this.
Hold on, whoa.
Aki is immediately 40% louder than she's been all episode.
I know, you're but welcome. Also at the same time, it also makes me question how Aki punches people, because she just said, like, the hands would be all over the dick, as in two. Like, I only need one hand to punch somebody. Aki, I don't know how...
What's the other hand doing?
No, we know.
Pushing myself off,
it's called obviously. A double fisting. It works.
So what, am I going to fist his pee hole while I'm fisting myself or something? Like, how does this even work?
You could, if you're a man of courage.
A man of courage. Huh. I guess that is a courageous thing to do, to fist yourself while punching somebody so hard in the dick that you end up fisting them. Why the fuck do we let me on this? Like, why do you?
I don't know.
Why are any of us allowed on this show other than Joe and Bree? I don't think anyone else should really be allowed on, like, the Thursday episodes.
Hey, I'm generally perfectly fine. Thank you very much.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yeah. How so? Exactly. I mean, I'm perfectly fine.
The last couple minutes are a pretty good indication that somewhere that is, there is both a
that is Jacob's fault. Okay, if Jacob right, hadn't brought any of this up, I wouldn't have said anything.
Aki, shut the fuck up. All right, so back to you, Bree, if you're still here.
I'm all right, still here.
So, as you're like, unfortunately. Okay.
Yeah, the amount of regret in that reply.
Yeah.
Also, I already answered it.
No, because I don't trust you, Aki. So anyway, Bree, so what happens if you do flush a toilet in your dream? Like, what does that mean? Does it
not
mean anything?
Flushing it, using them.
Using it.
Don't
using
use
it. Okay. Sorry. All right. Sorry. I'm civilized. I flush after I use. So
well, that's,
dream
that's,
toilet
that's
equates
good.
To real world bed is what she's getting.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. As okay. I stated, you all right, will but then lose what if your you bowels.
All right. But then what if you that's flush not, it after you use it in the toy in the dream?
And you like, flush what your bed, then? Obviously.
Oh my God, Joe. No way. Tell me that that's not true.
I still like how Aki is translating this to a bowel movement when we're just talking about piss in the bed. She's like, nope, you're going to shit yourself.
We start off talking about sharding. So, I mean,
yeah.
Oh, is that what I missed?
Look, if you want to be, look, if you want to wake up sleeping in a compost heap, that's your business. I can't tell you.
Well, no, that's why you buy. No, that's why you buy a mattress cover before you start doing all this kind of stuff. And let's be honest, like you really need to start sleeping on top of a garbage bag for easy cleanup, or maybe a tarp.
So, Bree, we're gonna let you get going, Bree. It's been
that's what I started doing. Works out pretty well for me.
This is a literal shit show right now.
Yep. All right. Well, you guys have a great night. It was good
take
to meet
it
Dave.
Easy, Bree.
See you, Bree.
Yes, likewise.
All right. Next game
is the doo doo ass chat on the SML podcast.
Doo doo ass.
Toilet flush, fart sound, old timey bike horn.
That's what we need. We need more fart sounds.
Yeah, you need a proper sort of morning zoo.
I've always thought you were a piece of shit.
That's a good start.
Yep, we're getting there. And then we have...
Bullshit! Also good.
This is such good shit.
there's a lot of shit.
They say shit on wrestling quite a bit anymore, don't they?
Do, yeah. Can't say twat. You can't say shit. I don't understand.
What about twat?
So, next game is Echoes, developed by and published by Nova Box. It released May 29th on Switch and Steam for $9.99. Follow the clues, question a cast of quirky witnesses, and uncover the secrets of the little town of Greenhearth. But the deeper you dig, the more you risk awakening eldritch horrors. Will you crack the case with your sanity intact? Dave, tell us about Echoes.
Oh, I would love to. Anything to distract from what we were talking about just seconds before. I'd like to start my review of Echoes with a question for you. By you, I mean both the co-hosts of this show, and for you, sweet listener. Do you like Twin Peaks? How about Gravity Falls? Stranger Things? Black Spot, how big is your appetite for media about paranormal bullshit disrupting the prosaic character of a small town? If it's anything like mine, monstrous, insatiable, I am a hog and I will eat that slop, then you'll love Echoes. Because Echoes is a visual novel in which you play Detective Ricky Fox, which, as an aside, is not a good detective name. Ricky Fox should be the name of a kid who wears a coonskin cap and spits on cars from an overpass. In any case, Detective Ricky Fox goes to an idyllic small town called Greenhearth to investigate the death of close friend Dr. Arthur Petrovic. Petrovic's death is of great interest to the FBI, which Fox correctly takes as a bad omen. So he jets off to Greenhearth to find some answers. In Greenhearth, as the little snippet indicated, Fox interacts with a cast of quirky and initially very unhelpful characters. The sheriff, who thinks you're annoying. The hotel owner, who knows everyone's business. The sad goth waitress at the local diner. A paranoid homeless guy. And artist Oscar Morrison, the world's most conspicuous man.
I have a question for you.
Among others. Sure, what's up?
Is the goth waitress hot?
asking the important questions about this game, obviously.
Exactly.
I feel like the phrase sad goth waitress carries a certain implication.
I mean, if Aki can't jerk it to a goth waitress in the game, then really, what's the point of purchasing it?
Exactly.
Look, who among us is not always trying to crank to sad goth waitresses? I ask you. And no one can deny this universal truth. We are all just trying to punch the clown who's sad goth waitresses. That is the human experience. A universal constant. Through his dogged pursuit of the truth, Detective Ricky Fox discovers that most of Dr. Petrovic's patients had major psychiatric problems. And the case gets weirder and weirder as the patients' connections to one another are revealed. I don't want to get too much more spoilery than that, so I'm going to leave off the sort of plot summary there. But it does get very Eldritch. The snippet you read earlier was not wrong in making that implication. As a game, Echoes is a pretty typical visual novel, by which I mean it's a point-and-click adventure game made by people who suck at making puzzles. That's not shade. That is not shade. I suck at solving puzzles, so it's an even swap. In any case, the player's agency is limited to dialogue trees and finding clues in still images via a point-and-click interface. There's no voice acting, but there are music and sound effects, and the art is, I'd say, perfectly cromulent for the most part, and gets better as the plot goes sideways. The weirder things get in the game, the cooler and better the art gets. And I have to say, I wished this had been a proper point-and-click adventure game with, like, inventory, puzzles I'm bad at solving, etc. Simply because I think the gameplay kind of lags behind the story and characters. Like, I wanted to play it, you know what I mean? Instead of just kind of watch it happen with occasional requests for input, which is sort of an issue I have with visual novels in general. That's pretty much all I got. It took me about, I did beat it, which is rare for me, as I suck at most video games, but I did manage to beat this one. It took me about 3 hours.
Not bad.
So it's a game. I actually kind of like that. I feel like too many games want to be like a part-time job that you also have to like pay to play effectively. So like a tight 3 hours is honestly pretty nice. I'm not gonna ship.
Well, it clocks in at $10. What are your thoughts on that?
Honestly, I think 10's pretty good. 10 is pretty, if it was any more than that, I would say wait. But yeah, 10 for like a 3 hour visual novel, I'd say that's fair.
Very good.
I would have paid, I would have paid $10 for that. Knowing what I know now, I would have. Oh, yeah. So that's fine.
If you're interested in picking it up quick by June 5th, it is on sale on Steam for $8.49. So you got a couple of days to pick it up for a few bucks cheaper.
I would, if it's on sale, absolutely pick it up for under 10. Yeah, you should.
There you go. That is the verdict from Dave K. Dave, it is always a pleasure having you on the show. We will let you get Thank going you. So you can enjoy the rest of your night. Pet doc for us.
Very good. Of course I will. Assuming she isn't like, I'm surprised she isn't here trying to unplug my headset, to be perfectly honest.
I'm shocked too. It is a too.
Favorite pastime of my cat, Dr. Gonzo, for those yes. of you who don't know, which should be probably most of you, as I'm not often on the Thursday rendition of the SML podcast.
Yeah, usually on the Tuesday shows, but we got you on a Thursday.
Yeah, a lot more poop on the Thursday episodes, I can't help but notice.
Yeah, it's mainly Jacob's fault.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you should be here when...
It's exclusively Jacob's fault.
You should be here when Ryan's here, because then it's like, it's nonstop, like, talk about shoving things... Yeah, it's really nonstop talk about us shoving things into our butt, like GameCube controllers, specifically.
That's a very specific thing to reach for, like, first thing.
That is a terrible endorsement for our show. It is a video game for podcast, our show.
I suppose.
What? I mean, is it? What? You get to hear a comedian who's been on America's Got Talent multiple times come onto our show free of charge, and he just talks about shoving things up his butt. What's not to like?
Your presence? I mean, presence? You
raise a valid point.
Oh.
Also, I, you know, we all are active participants in shitty doo-doo-ass talk. I don't think it's right to just blame Jacob for this.
That is true.
I mean, it is Joe's fault that, like, you know, I am on this show to begin with. He keeps he keeps giving me codes for games and like, yo, review this. And so, yeah, like, it's really his fault.
I'll fucking kill you!
God, I wish.
Oh, man. God, yeah, when, Lord?
Oh, man.
There are worse fates than being killed by Karen Jarrett.
Dave, do you have any final words before we let you go?
Final words? Don't fake the funk on a nasty dunk.
There you go. Have a good one, Dave.
Good night, everybody.
Big shout out to Hazy JT, who just dropped 100 biddies in chat. I don't know why we heard the normal sound effect and not the dropping bits, but I will have to look into that later. Thank you, Hazy. Love having you here. Thank you for the biddies. We got more games to talk about. Next game, The Rogue Prince of Persia, developed by Evil Empire, published by Ubisoft, released May 27th to Steam Early Access for $19.99. Jump into this action roguelite installment in the Prince of Persia series as you flow between death-defying platforming and acrobatic combat as the prince himself battle through the capital city again and again with one goal: find a way to save Persia from a Hun invasion wielding dark magic. Aki, tell us about your time with the Rogue Prince of Persia.
My time was dying a lot. So much. This obviously is a roguelite. So you go around and you try to beat a run and then you die like 100 different times and you restart it and it's great. In this, the roguelite elements are that you can find blueprints for stuff, and some of them are weapons, primary or secondary weapons. Other ones are little emblems that you can get and equip, and that's it. They don't particularly like it's not getting any stat upgrades or stuff that you get to start the next game with. It's just, it makes it to where those things show up more often in the game, but they already show up occasionally. So it's not a lot of upgrades between runs, sadly. I would have preferred something that gave me a little more oomph. But yeah, in this, you run around as the prince. You get the wall run, you get to climb up walls, you get to jump around, you get to stab things. It's pretty fun. There is no time rewinding mechanics in this, so other than every time you die, it rewinds time, technically. And yeah, basically the Huns have attacked Persia because the prince decided to do a sneak attack against the Huns, and it pissed them off. So he's to blame for everything that's happening right now. You know, the usual Prince of Persia stuff. He does something stupid, things blow up in his face, everyone else gets hurt. In this game, you get to pick up different weapons. You start off with your usual two knives, and you can pick up a handful of other weapons. I think there's like 8 weapons, I believe, in total. Be it swords, axes, spears, you name it. And then you also have secondary weapons, which have a limited set of uses. I don't know how you refill them other than getting to the next level of the game. And they're, you know, they can be like chakrams. And if you're like, I don't know what that is, think Xena the Warrior Princess. It's the weapon she uses. Bows, crossbow, things like that. You're just going around stopping monsters that are working for the Huns, which I guess sure makes sense. And otherwise, it's generally people that you're beating the shit out of. Every couple of levels that you get through, you have a boss fight. There are 6 levels and 3 boss fights, I believe, in order to actually complete the run 100%. I've never beaten the second boss because the game is really hard. You get 1 health refill, and it doesn't refill your health completely, but it does give you some health. And usually at the beginning of the level, you can of each level, you can refill that, which is nice. So the game gets really hard, just because there's not any extra health vials that you can pick up or anything. So this game ends up being a lot about skill. The emblems that you can find give you different abilities, and they can be upgraded by other emblems that you can equip. There's 4 slots total that you can equip them in, and there's like, I don't know, 20 or 30 or something like that, different emblems you can find. Each one has different abilities. Like, all of them have 1, 2, 3 different things they can do. Some of them are like, oh, if you kick this person, resin's all over the floor, which slows enemies down. Or, hey, if you kick an enemy into an object, there will be a poison cloud that shows up. Or, hey, if you break the shield, you set fire to everything. Or, hey, you get hit, you set fire to everything. Stuff like that. Some pretty useful abilities. Some of them you do have to get level ups in order to unlock that kind of special ability. Whereas, you know, their other abilities are like, oh, you get some energy for every time you break a shield, and I don't know what the energy actually is, to be honest. I have no idea what the energy is. I don't know if I've ever used it. Or, hey, you get some health for every enemy kill. And then, you know, those might be the first 2 upgrades on this item. And then the last one is, oh, if you break a shield, you set fire to everything in the immediate vicinity. So any enemies that are around are walking through fire and taking damage. You don't, because you're awesome. And yeah, it's really cool. It's really complicated to do, because obviously you don't know what emblems you're going to find, because you're going to find a lot more than 4 through your playthrough, unless you really, really suck and you die before you can find at least 4. And each one of them, you'll find one, and it'll tell you what abilities it has, all of them that you can unlock. And it also shows you where upgrades are that it gives. Because it might be like, oh, it gives the one to the immediate left of it, it gives that an upgrade. And that's it. Some of them are like, oh, you give 1 to the right, or, hey, you give 2 to the right. And it's both the first and second one to the right both get upgrades. And that's how you have to get upgrades for all of these, which makes it very complicated on how you're trying to slot everything in. Because if you find out, oh, I need these 2 things upgraded, but this one will give me those upgrades that I need. However, now I have to drop this one that I also really like in order to upgrade both of those to do things I want them to do. So you end up having to weigh what you have and what you're willing to give up. It's really fun and really interesting. I've thrown away a lot of them that I really would have preferred to keep because of that. But it's great fun. The standard enemies are just people and occasionally some large armadillo porcupine things. I don't know what the hell they are, but most of the enemies are people. When you get to bosses, they are freaky shit. Like, the first one that you can come across is this giant minotaur thing that is very pissed off at you. Another one is, I think, is some sort of undead monster. Like, And as you play the game, you're not just going through the same run every time. Obviously, every game, it changes up the layouts, but you also find different paths you can take. Like, partway through, I think the very first level of your first run, you can find somebody that will talk to you about something. It'll make the prince remember a different place, and he can start there from that point forward if he wants. He can start at either of them you choose. And you can find more of these as you play through the different areas. And so it's really interesting because each one goes completely different locations. It's pretty cool. And that's about it. You're going to die a lot. So much. So much. I will never finish this game. I'm not that skilled.
Well, it is in early access right now. They plan to be in early access for around a year, maybe longer. They say that the price will potentially increase. So the question is it worth jumping in now at $20? Should people wishlist it? What do you think?
I think just this game is already pretty good. It does have some issues. Like, there's if you quit your run, you can resume the run, which is a great feature. Except for in this game, it doesn't work at all. So if you restart your run, you're where you ended your last run, but now you don't have any of the shit you got through the run. So now you have your starting beginner stuff, and you're not going to win. That was the only bug I came across, and they put out a patch today, so who knows if it's fixed, but I would get in now, because it's already really fun, and that's the only issue I've come across, is just Ooh. That, which completely ruined a run that I think I would have beaten the game on, but, you know, life is what it is. So yeah, I think it's totally worth getting right now. If you're into roguelikes and roguelites, I think you're going to really enjoy this game. It's really colorful and really pretty, and it's really fun. So I'm all for it. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Next up, Hypercharge Unbox, developed and published by Digital Cyber Cherries Limited, released May 30th on Xbox One Series X and S for $29.99. There was once an ancient line of action figures who created a magical power source that would allow humans to keep their favorite childhood memories of their toys. This ancient power source is known as the Hypercore. Inside the Hypercore are the beloved memories of our favorite toys. Major evil destroys it, these memories will disappear forever. Defend it with everything you've got, or see our cherished toys turn into lost treasures of the past. Jacob, what is going on in Hypercharge Unboxed?
So, with the Hypercharge game, think of it as kind of like, think of it as like G.I. Joe got its own shooter game that was actually good. and go from there. So pretty much, like, as you were saying during the setup, children all around the world now have these like little memory core things inside their bedrooms. And what it does is that it helps kids remember and like have fond memories of all these toys that they grew up with. And so there, it's presented in this like kind of like comic bookish kind of thing, but and so it ends up being almost like a small soldiers kind of setup, and you have this one faction of good guys who have to stop a faction of bad guys who are going to just like destroy everything and take away all these cores. And so your tutorial has you learning all of the different different mechanics of the game and like what the cores do, various traps you can set. And so the main format of the game is it's a lot of I don't want to say like arena battles, but essentially like you're just playing, like you and your friends are up against like wave after wave after wave of enemies. And in between waves, you can go explore different areas, find collectibles, things to pick up. Just find all sorts of like cool stuff, especially like when looking at the packaging, on the toys. Now if you decide to go into multiplayer, there is a bunch of, new modes that you can play, and they are standard, shooter ones, you know, obviously team versus team, free for all, King of the Hill. There's also a capture the flag, which is called capture the core, because you know you're trying to capture these memory cores. And in all reality, the thing is that I would actually say the multiplayer function or the multiplayer gameplay reminds me a lot of Monday Night Combat, which is, I know, a bit of a throwback. But I also don't play these kind of games right as much as I used to. So I realize my comparison may be a little dated, but it reminded me a lot of that, especially with the humor. And it's a fun game that just doesn't take itself seriously. And honestly, the devs threw in so much awesome stuff that you get to look around at. And especially it's really good if you go into like the free mode to do it, because if you're playing like the different modes where it's like, you know, the wave after wave after wave, you really don't get a chance to explore what all's happening, or what like you don't get to look for the collectibles or even just like appreciate like the level design as much. So like those kind of modes are definitely more necessary for this. Like, cause honestly, like one of the things I always have enjoyed doing, especially with like, huge multiplayer maps or even like fighting game maps, is just like exploring it and just seeing like all the awesome details that they threw in. And with these devs, like you could tell that they have a lot of fondness for different toys and toy companies and stuff like that. So there is a lot of heart that's put into this. I didn't find very many people playing online at first, so I don't know if like the servers were off
pre-release.
Okay,
like it's out tonight. It's out. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
So I can't exactly comment on that, but I had fun when I was playing. The only downside I had was a super easy fix too. The controls for this game are super friggin' weird. I don't know who told them like, oh yeah, you should make jump the right bumper on the Xbox controller. But that's something you could easily fix and remap it to A. I don't like the controls really don't make sense. I don't know why they did it, but thankfully, unlike other games, you can remap them. So it's really
jump's probably. I'm gonna guess jump is on a bumper so that you don't have to take your finger, your thumb off the analog stick to jump and still aim. I know a lot of shooters put jump on the bumpers.
That's weird. I don't know. I didn't like that at all.
Bumper jumper.
Anywho, but yeah, like I had a lot of fun. There's a lot of creativity to this game, and clearly the devs had a lot of fun making it. Especially for $30, like holy crap. This is a way more fun multiplayer shooter than, you know, other titles out there that cost like two times as much with Call and Duty in their title. So but yeah, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun fooling around in this game. And I think our listeners will too.
Ooh, well, it is officially $29.99 and it is officially out now. What are your thoughts?
Go for it. I mean, there's going to be, there's supposed to be crossplay. So, you know, thankfully you can kick everyone's ass in this game.
Yay.
Yay.
Next up, The Mermaid of Zenor, developed by Ebihime, published by Penguin Pop Games, released May 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $5.99. Enter the enchanting and dark world of The Mermaid of Zenor, a visual novel inspired by the classic fairy tale of the same name, but set in modern-day England. This tale is for those who find beauty in darkness, a story that will captivate you until the very end. It touches on the adult themes of trauma, mental health, and obsession. Aki, what is going on in The Mermaid of Zenor?
Okay. Oh god, how can I explain this? So, in this visual novel, which is Kinetic Not Adventure. You get one choice in this game at the very end, which impacts the ending, and that's it.
So, from a game standpoint, we could pretty much say that's what the game is.
Yeah.
Like, you...
Yeah.
Is the story good? Obviously, you don't want to give away too much of the story, because that's the point of this release. But game-wise, it's not much of a game. It's just a kinetic visual novel with, a single choice.
Yeah.
Is the story worth it? Because I'm guessing you actually read it, unlike most of the people on True Achievements, who hit auto and just let the game get all the achievements in 2 minutes.
Yeah, Scotty's one of those people. I hate those people. hate those people so damn much. Oh, my God. It's kind of up in the air, because I like some parts of it, and there's other parts I don't like. So the main crux of the story is it's through the eyes of a young autistic girl who's 13, and therefore going through puberty and all this other shit, and she has an unhealthy obsession with her 19-year-old older brother. Like the romantic type of unhealthy obsession.
Ooh.
And yeah. And you know, he comes home from the holidays and it's just basically just a story about this situation and how she, I would say handles it, but she doesn't handle it. So
wait, so essentially you play the Folgers incest
Yeah, basically.
In this game?
Yeah, except for it's only one of them have those feelings. The other does not. Yeah. The
Folgers commercial. Oh my god. I hadn't thought about that commercial. It's parody commercial, we should point out.
Well, yeah,
based on a real commercial.
Don't want Folgers getting mad at us for saying it's an actual commercial.
Oh yeah,
I don't care. If Folgers gets mad at us. They're coffee.
I'm so sorry, but I think we're gonna lose Folgers as a sponsor on this podcast.
That's what I'm worried about, man. That's what I'm worried about. For all the Folgers I drank.
Best part of waking up is incest in your cup.
Anyway, the Mermaid of Xenor.
Okay, so, yeah. I like the overall story, however, and some of the stuff that the girl talks about with her, you know, autistic issues, they're real. Lots of people deal with them. That's fantastic. I really like that. However, then they kind of put her into one of the tropes that autistic people tend to get thrown into, and I didn't like that because it's I've only seen it a billion times and it's in no way particularly realistic.
Which trope are we talking about, to be fair?
I can't tell you, because if I do, it would ruin part of the story. That's kind of important. Okay.
Also important is to mention that Raider Biz just subbed for the 26th month, and we didn't hear the f***ing yeah from Pern. What is going on with my alerts? Why aren't they playing?
They're broken.
They are broken, so I'll do it manually.
Fucking yeah! Fucking yeah! Fucking yeah!
There we go. Thank you, Raider Biz. Enjoy the emotes. Thank you, as always, for your support and for hanging out. We love having you here. We can't talk about the story that much because that's the point of the product. So I guess all we could really do is say, is it worth $6?
Yes, I think so. I really like Ebihime games. They do a fantastic job at this, at these. So yeah, I think it's worth $6. It's probably a 4-ish hour long game would be my guess. So it's a nice little story. I'm all for it.
Very cool. It's good to hear from someone who actually played the whole thing.
I think there's only been one visual novel I've ever reviewed for here that I didn't finish. And I said that in the review because I just did not like it. And it was the one where you were playing as the kids who belong to like a mafia family. And it was just horrific. And I did not enjoy it.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago, I think.
I can't remember last week, let alone 2 years ago. Jesus.
What
was it? What is it called? Crime Opera or whatever?
I believe so. I think that's what it was, yeah.
Anyway, next game, Horizon Chase 2, developed and published by Aquarius Game Studio. Released May 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $24.99. Horizon Chase 2 is the evolution of the award-winning racing franchise. Born under the arcade sign, this game fulfills your senses. Immersive and high-speed gameplay, this is the golden era of arcade racing, brought to life over a modern and completely evolved experience. Jacob, what is going... Actually, it's not published by Aquarius, it's published by Epic Games. So, quick correction there. I didn't realize Epic picked this one up to publish. But, Jacob, tell us about Horizon Chase 2.
You should buy it.
Tell us about it.
I mean, I already told you should buy it. That's...
Okay, but you should tell us about it.
It's buyable.
Fine. Yeah. All right. So, holy crap, this game is a ton of fun. If you played Horizon Chase Turbo, which I reviewed for the podcast many years ago, it's an arcade racer, very similar to like Cruisin' World, that kind of aesthetic. And you're going through different locations around the world. You're just trying to become the best racer of all. Like, there's really not much else to say in terms of like gameplay. I mean, like, you have to collect, like, if you want to get like the super special trophy, you have to collect all of the coins and place first. In that specific race, And doing so helps you earn upgrades for your car, and you can decide like whether you want to upgrade like the engine or the tires or the nitro, any of that kind of stuff. But there's also like paint jobs you can buy, skins for your car, but also like different add-ons, which it looks like they're just cosmetic. But I like to pretend that some of them make my car go faster, but yeah, like pretty much all the races are just you versus 19 other, people, going through different locations around the world. Occasionally you will have to do a time trial if you want to get all of, the awards in the area. And, sometimes you're going to have races where you're just plain outmatched, but then, that's where you need to go back and replay those other, races and get to first. And like, honestly, like once you like start upgrading your car, like this becomes way easier to get done. And as you go through the game and beat certain like countries, you'll unlock, different cars, and different, mods that you can have for your car. There is an online play aspect to it. However, I never encountered a single person on there, so I don't know if the servers just weren't turned on at the time. However, the game, if it can't find anybody for you to play with, you just end up going into a race with a bunch of bots. And for some reason, the bots really enjoy the Thailand maps, because that's really all I ever got stuck with in multiplayer. But whatever, I was having fun. Like the game is absolutely.
The reason you didn't run into anyone is unfortunately the same as Hypercharge. You just pre-release, so we'll have to give an update next week if you play online.
Okay, yeah. I mean, but on the plus side, you do get to play against bots, so
which is good.
Something. But yeah, like it's just really fun. My only issue with it is that it's like it is pretty damn hard to get that initial boost. Like you know how so many racing games, like you count down 3, 2, 1, go, and then like as soon as you hit you're supposed to like rev your engine on each number and then, you know, slam down on go, and then it'll make you go faster. Like tons of arcade games do that. The game has a similar feature, but like I couldn't really figure out what the heck I was doing wrong with it. I only got it to work once out of like 30 or 40 races that I did. It's one of the latest achievements I've unlocked in this game. And it's like, I wasn't having problem winning races, but like at the beginning, it's just like, what the crap am I doing wrong? So I don't know, but, you know, that seems to be a little tricky, but otherwise, if you love the first one or not, I don't think Turbo was the first one, because I think there is another one, but either way, if you loved Horizon Chase Turbo, check this out. If you love arcade racers, check this out. This game is a shitload of fun. I highly recommend it. Like it's one of my favorite games I've reviewed so far this year.
Now here's the big question, because you are famously known as Cheap Ass Jacob. The game's $25. What do you think?
Oh, just $25? Yes, absolutely. run to the store and buy this now.
Well, if it's actually, digital, then
run to the store and, you know, buy an Xbox gift card.
If you run to the Xbox store right now, for the first 2 weeks, it is on sale for $19.99.
Oh, save shit. Yourself
$5 and pick it up early if you are interested.
Hell yeah. Get it.
One final game to talk about tonight.
SML After Dark.
Lust Theory Season 1, developed and published by Incitun Games, released March in 2022 on Steam for $14.99. Actually released March 18th, which is my birthday. So, woohoo! Birthday porn. Lust Theory is an adult visual novel in which you take control of a 20-year-old guy whose life is turned upside down when he finds out the same day is repeating. The game is packed with sex, humor, romance, drama, and mystery. Aki, what's going on in Lust Theory Season 1, and why are we reviewing a game from 2022?
Okay, so that's actually going to get answered? All right, good, because I was like, what the crap?
Well, the reason is because it was on my wish list and I wanted it, so I asked for it. And it's a porn game, and that's why. Also, recently I did Lustyverse, Passion on Display, and Unreal Lust Theory, both games also made by them. So I'm just going through their catalog because I can. And that's, well, I like doing that.
So, hold on. So, is there going to be like a season two or something?
Yes. A season two already out, and they're creating a season three right now.
Wait, so are we going to be expecting a season two review from you?
Yes.
Or, okay. All right. No. I was just
I'm going through their entire catalog.
Are they sending us codes for you to do this?
Yeah.
That's wild. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Almost every porn game I've ever reviewed, almost all of them are a couple years old. Not many of them are brand new. Some of them are, but a lot of them are not. It's specifically because they looked cool, so I went for it. Because a lot of Steam games don't usually get especially porn ones, don't get a lot of reviews. And,
weird.
Yeah, and a lot of them are either just baselessly negative because it's porn and the person didn't want porn on the platform, or some of them legitimately seem like they may have been kind of paid for sometimes. So
I guess you could say the SML podcast finds a need and fills it, right?
Yes. God, that was terrible. I hate that, but yes. So,
Hold on.
Oh God. I mean, no, that was fair. I'm not gonna, I hated it, but it was fair. It was fair. In this game, you are playing Groundhog Day, except for the porn version. You're a young guy, you're still in school, and you live with three ladies, and you can determine how they're related to you. And like I said in one of my prior reviews of one of their other games, it is
the
very
best
clear.
Part of waking up.
Yep.
Insist in your cup.
Yep. Now, like
this
most
is a
porn
good review
games.
To bring that up.
Yeah. The older there, it's supposed to clearly be your older sister, your younger sister, and your mom. It's very obvious what it's supposed to be. But again, Patreon, which is where most of these devs originally were working on through and getting paid through, doesn't allow that, so they usually give you the choice of choosing the relation, or they turn them into, like, tenants and shit. You're living with them, and one of them's already out of school, the other one is at the same college as you, just in a lower grade, and you wake up one day to annoying fucking alarm going off, a car alarm, not your home alarm, and that is the beginning of the rest of your life, basically.
Let me get this straight. So you wake up to a car alarm, incest.
Yes, basically. And you go to school, and you play out the day like usual. You know, your older sister has been pissy because she got broken up with and then had to also come and start living at her parents' house again.
I'll bet she did.
Yeah. Your younger sister is distant to you as well and has started becoming more distant as y'all have gone into university. Your mom recently broke up with a guy she was with and has been drinking a lot. So the home situation is kind of, what's the word? Fucked. Yay, it turns into another type of fuck later. Great. And you go to sleep, and then you wake up, and you're like, fuck, 2 days in a row, this stupid fucking car. I hate it so much. And then everything starts playing out the exact same way as the first day, and you're like, what? So you play through the second day, and the character's just more and more confused as everything keeps happening the same. And then at the end of the day, they're like, okay, let's test this. And at 3:15 in the morning, everything just reverts back to them waking up to an alarm. And they are like, okay, let's see how much I can change each day. So they start taking information that they had learned. Like, there's a new girl at school. You can learn, you learn her name the first time, and you can start screwing with her. Because obviously she doesn't remember ever meeting you. So, but now you know her name. You know she's trying to start a cosplay club. You know all this information about her, so you can just screw with her a little. And you can slowly start to learn more about all the other ladies in your life. One of your professors, one of your childhood friends who very clearly has a thing for you, your sisters, your mom, the new girl, all of them are for you at some point, and there's some others as well. And yeah, you just get to learn about them, and every day you get to make new choices using some of that information to figure out how to get with these girls, because you're a fucking hornball.
Okay, so out of curiosity, so does this mean that, like, theoretically season one can go on for forever? Or is it just, like, there is a very limited, like, set? Like, you have 10, like, the game is only set for, like, 30 days or something like that.
You can keep playing this basically forever. You will eventually come across the choices which end the game, because there is an endpoint where, I'm not going to spoil that, actually. But yeah, you can keep playing it indefinitely, basically, by just not making the correct choices eventually. There is a system that you can pop up that tells you, oh, hey, here's some scenes that you need to get to further the story, basically. And you can, it doesn't tell you exactly what to do, but it gives you good hints that basically give you the gist of what you need to do. So if you ever get lost, you can figure out what you need to do. There's also hidden scenes that sometimes you might have to go into a room, and instead of choosing the options that are there, you wait for a little bit for a new option to show up. Those are also listed, and they give you the gist of what you need to do for those as well. And there are some that change entire days for you. So, like, there's a few where you select an item in the house, and it suddenly, your character decides, instead of trying to bang every woman he meets, he's just gonna fuck around this day. Like, he's angry, everything's pointless, so he just wants to be the biggest douchebag on the planet, because there's no repercussions for him. So, instead of waking up and trying to get in everyone's pants, this day he decides he's just going to be the biggest asshole on the planet that he can be. And you get to make choices revolving around that instead, which are pretty hilarious. And there's a few different days where you can find stuff to do stuff like that, and they're all hilarious to me. Because he is just the dumbest fuck. And yeah, I really like how the characters are written, because, like, he even tries to explain that he's Groundhog Day-ing this shit, and obviously, as you would expect, no one fucking believes him, and he's like, fine, they're not gonna believe me, whatever. And then very quickly he gets to the point where it doesn't really matter how I fuck things up, because none of this matters, the day's going to reset. So even if I fuck this up real bad, I can try again tomorrow, because none of this will have happened. And he does things that generally he probably shouldn't, but again, there's no repercussions, so he's not going to have a kid with anybody. What does he care? he acts kind of realistically for someone who is just extremely horny, and is Groundhog Day-ing the shit. So, yeah, you get to learn a lot about, especially the siblings, because they're all you basically know about the older one is she's a pissy bitch, and that's it. That's all you start off knowing, and you get to know a lot about her as an individual and all the shit she's going through. And that's, I really liked that. It happens for a number of the characters, but I think specifically the older sister, I think they really did the best with. But it also deals with situations where, you know, characters are like, I'm going through a weird hormonal phase and I just have these weird thoughts and ideas and I don't know what to do with, and they don't want to talk about it, and your character learns about it and slowly gets them to open up through the different runs, figuring out what they need to say and do to get information so they understand the character more. And it's just really cool. And yeah.
How many hours have you played?
To 100% this game, it took me about 12 and a half hours.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And I will point out, I was not just running this on my own.
Masturbating the whole time.
No, I definitely was. the animations in this are fucking amazing. No, the
15 bucks. What's your verdict?
I had a walkthrough for this, and that's why it took me only 12 and a half hours. Otherwise, it probably would have taken me over 20, because this game gets kind of confusing with how many choices it has. And how much did you say?
15 bucks. What's your verdict?
100% get this. This is a fucking fantastic game.
So when can we expect this on Xbox?
Never. There's no chance in hell. I wish.
All right, fine. Nintendo Switch.
I don't know. Amiga. That one could actually happen.
Commodore 64.
The Switch does have porn games on it.
Switch does not have porn. They have nudity, but they don't have porn.
Nah.
Yeah, Switch does not allow...
A romance sim where you're trying to get with somebody and then they end up naked is effectively a porn game, because that's all this is.
Porn is penetration.
I guess. Whatever.
So
anyway, that's it for this episode. Big thanks for Bree for coming on. Big thanks to Dave for coming on. Thanks to you two for making this good. Good.
That's
because
rude.
It's gonna be bad. I know it's gonna be bad.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I can ask it. Go ahead.
Oh, it was going back to the discussion of porn. So does that mean, like, you know, nutting on somebody's face? Does that mean that that's still just considered nudity? Or would that be
apparently, because that's not penetration.
Yeah.
So says Joe anyways.
I don't know if Joe's
I hate
really
you both. Does anyone have any final words to end this goddamn show?
Nah.
A shot caller, the east side's where I play the game.
I tried so hard.
You're pissing me off, you gotta be in it to win it, so come over here, girl.
It's time to pivot, play.